Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry, and by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. We've got a great program lined up for you today. We will be talking about the 60th anniversary of the assassination of JFK. Vivian Cottingham will be joining us, our historian, to talk about that. Also coming up on the program today, Matt Long and I will be having a conversation about what can you do about where we are today and what's happening in our world. We'll get into that. And real estate broker and mogul Elon Bracha joins us. Why are so many rich young Americans today renting instead of buying homes? We'll talk with him about that and what's happening with regards to that. But joining me now is former congressman from Charlotte, North Carolina, and author of a brand new book, Character Matters, Personal Stories of 31 World Changers. I want to welcome Robert Pittenger to the program. Robert, welcome. Good to have you.
Good morning, Pastor. Good to be with you.
Well, character matters. You know, we keep saying that. We keep telling folks that character makes a difference, but there's been a redefinition of exactly what that even means. Care to give us some insight as to your thoughts as you've researched this and written this book?
Yes, sir. Well, I wrote the book, frankly, initially for my grandkids. We have 17 grandchildren. And I wanted them to understand the character traits of the individuals that I've known and worked with for the last 5 decades that enable them to have impactful lives, not only for the kingdom of God, but for this country, and why they were uniquely qualified and largely due because of the clear character capacities and innate skill sets that they had to lead at very important times for our country, as well as, you know, athletes, entertainers, business people that we also write about in the book that have had a profound impact. So character is the essential component for all of these individuals and why they were able to accomplish far beyond what most individuals have done. We all come into this earth the same. We are largely begin on our own efforts, and yet what those traits that are built into our lives enable us to yield enormous impactful results.
How important are things like faith and morals and then obviously work ethic, but how important are those foundational principles of faith and morality when it comes to that success?
When I first met Margaret Thatcher, this was in 1993. She had just left her term, her 11 years, and she served as prime minister. And I picked her up in a friend's Rolls Royce. And she said, you know, Robert, I'm a commoner. I don't ride in these. I've never ridden in one before. So I haven't either, Lady Thatcher. Let's enjoy the ride. But as we went along, I said, you know, Lady Thatcher, we all know you are the Iron Woman. You were there when the wall came down. You fought the liberals. You fought the socialists. You prevailed in reining in the enormous amount of spending that were sending your country into economic collapse. And you faced enormous headwinds, even from your own party. What we don't know is what enabled Margaret Thatcher to rise to the occasion. What gave you those innate capacities, the strength, the fortitude, the focus, the determination to succeed? She said, Robert is my father. My father, number one, he was a Methodist Sunday school teacher. And he took me every Wednesday night and every Sunday morning to Sunday school, to church, where I learned about Jesus, I learned about Christianity. But she said he taught me three things about leadership that profoundly affected my life. The first one was determine the right thing to do. What's the principal thing to do in any given situation? Secondly, with your whole heart, commit yourself to that objective. And thirdly, with all your persuasion, seek to bring your friends and your colleagues to join you. Well, how succinct, but how profound that was. She said, Robert, that led and drove me my path to working as the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Well, let's move forward several decades. I'd just been elected to the United States Congress in 2013. And we're up at Harvard, all 85 new members, Democrat and Republican. I think Harvard wanted to try to indoctrinate us. So we were there for 5 days, and there were four British MPs that came over to observe us, two Labour, two Tory, two Conservative. And they spent the time seeing how we reacted to different policies. But at the end of the week, Joe Kennedy, our classmate, took us out to Fenway Park. A great treat. I'm a big baseball fan, a Yankee fan, nonetheless. But we went to Fenway Park and went to the dugout and the locker room and all around, and no games. This was in January, but it was a great fun. But on the way out, I sat on the bus with a member of the UK Parliament who was a member of the Labour Party, the opposite party of Lady Thatcher. And we chatted along about different people and other MPs I knew. But finally, I got the courage to say to her, well, what did you think of Margaret Thatcher? expecting the darts to fly because she was in the opposite party. She said, Margaret Thatcher, God bless her. She saved our country. She had the guts and determination to do what my party didn't have the guts to do. And boy, that rang a bell with me. During my term in Congress, I sought as best I could to try to follow those three clear definitions of leadership that her father had given to Margaret Thatcher. So character does really matter. It mattered in all the people, Netanyahu, Reagan, Bush, Senior, everyone that we write about in the book had unique skill sets that allowed them to rise to the important occasions for the sake of our country and for the sake of Christianity.
As you look at how character, because one of the things that I think we challenge with today is, you know, people are debating ideologically, what does it mean to have character? I mean, when we think about the left today, they look at you and I, and it's become very clear, the January 6th situation, everything that's gone on. We have people that have been in prison now for 1,000 days with no charges, just held in prison. When we look at these kinds of things, they look at us and they say, you are the enemy. So their belief is that they're the ones that have the character and we don't have any character. How do we redefine or change that definition to a more biblical worldview, I guess, would in my estimation? And again, when it comes to that, their idea of a biblical worldview, I think is significantly different than the one that is actually described right here in this good book.
Yes, sir. Well said. You know, some people, it's don't confuse me with the facts. You know, they've got their mind made up.
Yeah.
They're happy with whatever they believe. But in time, you have to continue to gently work with people, hoping that the truth will prevail. I had many friends on the left side of the aisle that you continue to try to build a relationship with. But part of it, frankly, is building up straw man images of what you want people to believe or what you're thinking of other people. And so you react and you come up with all hypothetical or hypothetical types of views that aren't anything related to reality. What is needed, I think, to break down walls in any difference, if you're witnessing to someone or whoever, is a relationship. I had a very good relationship with Maxine Waters. And frankly, Ms. Waters, Chairman Waters today, she endorsed and supported three major bills that I did. But I went to Maxine and she's a very far left progressive. Sat down in her office many times and was always pleasant with her and talked to her. You just have to befriend people and break through the barriers of their anger and the perspective that they built up in their own mind. There's no easy snap of the finger, but these folks clearly don't believe fully all the things that they're saying, but they are reacting and they're throwing stones or throwing rocks or street fighters. And street fighters say and do whatever they want to say to accomplish their means because they're angry people. And, you know, the soft answer turns away wrath. I talk about that some in my book. We've got to be a people, particularly in government, where we're willing to have civil discussions and to be able to reason with people, even though they may be taunting with their reactions. It's important not to taunt back. It's important to stay thoughtful and kind and loving. And, you know, the little wristband people used to wear years ago, what would Jesus do? And, you know, I'm I'm a very imperfect person. I stumble and stumble and stumble every day. But all I know is to try to follow the concepts and the ideas, frankly, in the book of Proverbs. It leads us into a lot of ways in terms of relating to people and to diffuse their antagonism.
It's challenging. I mean, I understand that. It's challenging, and I think you have to present the argument in a thoughtful manner, and like you said, building relationship so that the person knows that you're coming from a place of love, even as much as you would disagree. One of the challenges that I think a lot of us are concerned about has been the consistency of compromise that we feel like takes place. And I know I had a long conversation several years ago with a representative that was retiring here in Texas, a House representative. And in that conversation, that we had the supermajority in the House, supermajority in the Senate, and a Republican governor. And yet the platform that we put forward, the family values, all of the things that we put forward were generally ignored when it came to session. And in fact, Democrats were put in chair positions. And I asked him about it, and he said, well, we've got to compromise because one of these days the Democrats are going to be back in charge again. And my response was, wait a minute, you guys have been sent there to do a job. We've worked diligently to give you a platform so that you understand the will of the voters that sent you. Why not do what the voters want you to do? Yes, you're going to get screaming and yelling and hollering, and we even watched the Democrats get on an airplane and leave the state in order to try to avoid a vote. But that doesn't change, again, what you have to do that's the right thing to do.
Yes, sir. I never yield on principle. And frankly, I don't understand the logic in yielding committee chairmanships or whatever to the other side. The people elected us to represent their point of view. And to that end, the political process should be a means by which to accomplish that, not to yield that to the other side. So that's a foreign thought to me. You don't become a doormat to your enemies just for to get along with them. I believe you stand for principle and truth, but, Harry Truman once said, speak softly and carry a big stick. And got that from Teddy Roosevelt.
Right.
But no one ever questioned the integrity, the commitment, the fortitude of Ronald Reagan or Truman or others, but they were kind, gentle people. But they spoke with strength. In fact, the first time I ever met Gorbachev. I said, Mr. Gorbachev, tell me, what did you think of Ronald Reagan when you first met him? And he said, air traffic controllers. Well, it was very clear. When Reagan came to office, he wasn't there for a couple months. The air traffic controllers threatened to strike.
Yep.
Reagan said, you strike and you're fired. They struck and they got fired. Now, Reagan didn't get up on a podium and pound his fist and get yelled at him and get mad.
Right.
He just quietly did what he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
And we need to have that kind of resolve. We need to have that type of communication, that steadfast commitment to do the principled thing. But we can do it in a civil way. And the discourse on both sides has been, frankly, very uncivil. And it doesn't work to our better end to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish, not yielding one ounce in terms of commitment to our principles.
Do you think there's also been a hypersensitivity that has been created in the environment that we live in because of all of the, special group things and groupthink and if you say this, then you're all the labels that are thrown out? Do you think that there's been a reduction in the ability to be able to have those kinds of civil discourse because maybe the rules have changed?
Well, I mean, street fighting, you know, is the name of the game now. You know, who can be the smartest and quickest in terms of throwing out some type of ludicrous assertion? It happens on both sides. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not fond of that. I believe that regardless of the level of discourse of your opponent, you've got to keep a cool head. And you've got to think and react and respond in a thoughtful way. That's all I'm saying. We don't yield one ounce on our principles, but we communicate in a way that doesn't inflame, antagonize other people. Some a friend once said, Mary Crowley, a dear friend of mine, I write about her in the book, you can't antagonize and you can't influence at the same time. And so we can't go in and have this antagonistic, demeanor where we're out to attack and to get them all the time. And that maybe it may look good on national media. It may look good for a clip on the evening news or cable TV or whatever. And it may play to the base.
Right.
Because he's fighting for me. He's fighting for me. Well, it's all show and tell. But, you know, it doesn't deliver. And we're there to deliver. And we've got to be able to deliver. We've got to have meaningful, trustful relationships. There's some folks on the other side that I trusted. I didn't believe much of what they said, but I believe in spirit they were doing what they thought was the right thing to do. And I had to respect that part and reason from that perspective.
Shifting that to the current administration and what they're doing all around the world. On one hand, they act as though they're extending a warm hand to Israel, while on the other hand, preventing Israel from defending herself. We just watched one of the exchanges was a woman, and the media tried to play up sympathies. Oh, she her face was destroyed. Look at her face. Look at how well this was a woman who tried to basically blow up herself and others as a terrorist. She was caught. She was convicted. The bomb that she exploded actually blew up in her own face, but she also injured an IDF soldier who is still recovering. Yeah. And Hamas is demanding the release and getting the release with the support of Biden, the UN, and Hamas. They're getting terrorists in exchange for innocent women and children. This is like schizophrenia in my mind. Is there any character to be found in this?
You know, in 1984, Reagan made the decision. At the time, he felt he had no choice but to pull out of Lebanon, where we were engaged with Israel to defeat Hezbollah in Lebanon. There was blood in the streets. And a lot of collateral damage, a lot of, women, children, and others who were lost and brutally killed and displayed publicly through the media. And the pressure was so great that Reagan yielded, and he pulled out. The demands were there from throughout the world, the clamoring multitudes of people like they're doing today relative to Hamas. Mm-hmm. And Reagan essentially told Israel to back out. I was in Bud McFarland's office in 1984, who was national security advisor for Reagan.
Okay.
I'm there with Charles Malik, who was a great scholar and really the George Washington of Lebanon. And to say, is there a line in the sand where we won't allow them to cross? No, we've given up. Mm. Well, from that decision, Hezbollah, which was a fledgling little organization 40 years ago, has now emerged into a billion-dollar funded organization that they have enormous assets throughout South America and other parts of the world. But we were not willing to complete the war and didn't allow Israel to complete the war.
Right.
And today we have to allow Bibi to be Bibi. Israel needs to do what they need to do to defeat Hamas, because it's going to be the same metastasize of Hamas and the growth of Hamas that we saw in Hezbollah. So war is brutal. It's gruesome. There's not a happy face in war. And frankly, if we would have had cameras in Normandy and when we were
right.
climbing those walls, we may not have stood the mission because we couldn't have handled all the blood that happened. And Spielberg pointed that out in the movie years later.
Yep.
So I'm not fond of war, but there's a time you have to fight. And God certainly understood that throughout Israel's history, that there's a time you have to fight a war. And war is not pretty.
Well, and Israel's not asking us to put boots on the ground. They're mm-hmm. simply saying, quit trying to hold us back from doing it and give us access to the weapons that you mm-hmm. had promised us that we were going to have access to. I mean, that's it, so that we can carry out this war. And I think that they're getting, you know, closer and closer to a place. I mean, everything that's going on, I know they've extended this fake truce again, one in which Hamas is moving troops up from the south to the north, which their treaty specifically said, don't do that, but they're doing it anyway. And there's video of them doing it, but they're doing it under the cover of both the media, the UN, and this administration.
Yes, sir. Well, we need to allow Netanyahu to do what he needs to do, and we need to back him up. They're fighting in our behest. You know, Iran's target vis-a-vis Hamas and Hezbollah is ultimately the United States. We're the great Satan. Israel is the little Satan.
Yeah.
And that's the path is ultimately to get to us. And so what Netanyahu is doing today, what Israel's committed to do, is fighting a war in our behalf. And well, we need to recognize that.
And I would go so far as to suggest that, you know, our own October 7th is upon us in the sense that we have, we know, cells, mosques, strongholds right here within our own borders already fully prepared. They're ready. They're just waiting for the green light. And I think many Americans are asleep at the wheel, not understanding how serious this situation is right here, right now.
We don't understand the breach in the border and allowing them to come through. We could have closed that border in 2014. $20 billion of funding came across from the Senate in a bill that was passed, went to the House, and included, though, DACA funding for the young children to give them legal rights to live here. There's 1,700,000 of them. And we lost it in the House. And while I am of total agreement with members of the Freedom Caucus and their views and values, that was a wrong political mistake. They opposed it, and saw all 35 of them, and we couldn't get that bill across the line. Well, since then, we've had 10 million illegals come across, and God knows how many of them, over 100 countries, have come here with nefarious intentions to destroy our country, and they are here.
Yeah.
We have them here in the U.S., and as you said, they're ready to strike at their will and at their timing. But all this we've written about in our book, you know, it's all about character to me. And an aspiring young person or whoever wants to have an accomplished, successful, meaningful life, I think they can learn a lot in the book of character matters, of personal stories. You can go to Amazon and get it from there and learn why these ordinary people, all born the same way, you know, we come up. And Ronald Reagan was a farm boy in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all can emerge in life, but it's those character qualities that enable us to have unusual and impactful lives. So that's why we wrote the book originally for my grandkids, but now We've sent it out around the country, around the world.
Robert Pittenger, Character Matters, personal stories of 31 world changers. Encourage you to pick it up again. As he said, you can pick it up at Amazon or wherever fine books are sold. Character Matters, personal stories of 31 world changers by Robert Pittenger, and that's Pittenger. Robert Pittenger, and for those of you that are watching us there, you can see it up full on your screen right there at Amazon. Robert, thank you so much for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it, and I've enjoyed the conversation, sir.
Thank you, Pastor. I commend you for your great leadership down in San Antonio, in Bandera.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for that. All right, we are going to take a break. We will be back with more coming up on the other side. Ilan Bracha should be joining us here shortly. We'll talk about why is it that there are so many people that are buying or that are not buying real estate, but instead they're renting. We'll talk into that. You know, I was watching a video, the author of Rich Man, Poor Man, and he talks about that. It's kind of interesting. Anyway, we'll get into it and see what Ilan has to tell us. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. More coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have Clan Slight. When you
All right, buddy. Sorry about that. That was him holding that.
So up next, we have Clan Slight. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And Clan Slight is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your Clean Slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your Clean Slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned, because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you're my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you. At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say, the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil, and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. All right. We are just about ready to bring in our next guest. And also just want to remind you also about our India ministry and encourage you. We are definitely in significant need of some support. $20 will help support our pastors in India. Usually in December, we try to provide the pastors with some additional assistance because of the cold weather, because of the severity of the weather situation there. And, you know, these are individuals that are already in a very impoverished condition. And so, unfortunately, the week before Thanksgiving, we were given news that our budgeting for India was basically cut by close to 75%. And so we are in a place where we're not able to help them or the orphans this year as we have in the past. So we are really, truly dependent on your generosity and your help. Otherwise, I'm very concerned about how many of our pastors are still going to be with us come this next spring. That's not overstating the reality of their situation. So any assistance you can give, but $20 will make a huge difference in helping them to get through this very difficult winter season. So anything you can do it at $PastorGregCGR on Cash App, $PastorGregCGR. Venmo is also PastorGregCGR, at PastorGregCGR. And then you can also go to the website, ChosenGenerationRadio.com, and just click on the donate button. And your contributions are all tax deductible to Faith Harvest Church. All right, let me welcome my next guest to the program. He is with us today to talk about an interesting phenomenon. And I was mentioning as we were going into the break that I was watching an interview with the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And he was talking about how everybody talks about, oh, debt is bad, and so on and so on. And he said, you've got to break out of that mindset. And these stale assets are actually not necessarily in your best interest. So I want to welcome my next guest to the program. If I can get a two-shot up here. There we go. Elon Branca, CEO of IB Global. Elon, is that right? Did I say that correctly?
Yes, exactly. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. Good morning. Great to have you. Thanks for being here.
Very good. Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, yeah. Sir. Absolutely.
Good morning with donation. I also want to donate, you know, with you. So at least I get, you know, your first one here.
It's thank you so very much.
You know, with today's, with what's happening in the world, you know, as Israeli born. we definitely, you know, donate and support Israel, and it's a lot in many ways, and we'd love to support any way we can.
Thank you, Ilan. Well, I just so you know, I have been a huge proponent for Israel for a very long time, but in particular through all of this, I have a dear friend, Dr. David Wormser, who was actually in Tel Aviv on October the 7th. Wow. The Holy Spirit woke me up that morning and gave me prayer points for Israel. He was texting me very early in the morning, and I went on to try to find somebody that was speaking truth about the situation. And honestly, I was horrified. I actually literally went on to rebut what Steve Bannon was saying. That's why I went on, because of some things he was saying. And then my friend was messaging me, and I said, "Do you have internet?" He said, "Yes." We did a 2.5 hour interview on the 7th of October with the sirens going off, with him explaining what was actually happening on the ground live from Tel Aviv.
Amazing. It's so important. You know, many people are not educated enough. You know, it's so important to be out there and say and educate and put a point, you know, just, you know, be true to yourself. It's very important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and as a Christian, and as I assume you are a practicing Jew. Yeah. You know, we share the same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes,
and we share the same hope and the same promise, which is the promise that was given to Abraham.
Yes,
and so I welcome you, my dear brother.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate, you know, thank you also for having me today and the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's interesting. I was mentioning, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and it's so funny. I was just watching his interview, and he was kind of talking about, you know, you got to break the paradigm. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. But, you know, regarding the static real estate as a static, right, as opposed to real estate as an investment, which I assume has a lot to do with why a lot of these younger people are saying, no, I'll rent, but I'll buy, but I'm going to buy and rent out while I'm renting. Am I onto something?
Exactly. No, it's exactly what's happening.
I'm an old dog learning a new trick.
They are your crowd today. They're very educated. You know, the social media in general, the internet, they just open their mind to so many young crowd that's coming into the real estate market and say, wait a second, why should they want the flexibility, right? You know, after the pandemic, everybody wants the flexibility. And that's allowed you is, you know, if you buy, you're still in the game of real estate. You're not saying don't buy or don't, you know, they're buying real estate, but don't move in. They're renting it out, getting the income, and then choose whoever they want to live and renting out, rent for themselves. Now, that's allowed them to be flexible, growing. If you have a life change event, you know, from one bedroom to two bedroom, from two bedroom to three. But as an investor, you're still in the real estate market. You still benefit so many, you know, tax benefits and appreciate depreciation and many ways of benefit from just being in the real estate. I think it's, you know, it's if they own something, it's a trend that's getting bigger and bigger. And it's also allowed you to edge yourself from the market that's, you know, changing like that, you know, like the interest rate changing a lot, but then the rent going up. So you have the flexibility from location and also from like the market change.
I would think also from a tax strategy, right? Because wherever you're renting, you carve that out as an office space, if you will. And so now a large percentage of your rent, which you're actually getting your rent paid for you by the properties that you're renting. So now you have positive cash flow and you have
expense.
And you have and that rent becomes an expense that's a necessary part of your business.
Right. And then when the market shifts back now and you have now a huge appreciation, you can actually roll the gain to another property without, you know, paying taxes.
Okay.
So you will pay eventually, but you defer it. So 1031 exchange, that's what it's called. You allowed you an investment property to buy the same kind of property on the same price or more, right, and exchange it. As long as you're exchanging in the game, you can defer the taxes. And that's alone allowed you to create a wealth in 5 to 10 years, which is it's a game changer for your future. People don't understand, many of them don't understand that real estate, it's not like a 1 year or 2 years like you think as a rental or when you're buying a property. It's a 5, 10, 15 years game. When okay. you're looking at 15 years and then backward, you can create, you actually can predict what kind of a wealth you're going to have more or less based on the decision you make today. And it's not like, listen, I came from Israel with nothing. You know, we came in America, it's beautiful. It gave you the opportunity to do all those right. things. They educate right. you enough to do it, and you start. And you have to start somewhere, but you start with, you know, small real estate, and then you get bigger and better. And so I think if people will just start buying, but not necessarily look for the best property that I will buy and move in, just let me buy something and just as an investment, even if it's not in the same neighborhood I live in, maybe if it's something that's a little bit less than what I was expecting.
Right.
It's not the perfect one, but it's a start. And that's a big thing. Yeah.
Now, relative to these property values, because I had, I believe her name is Catherine Kane, who's on, who's also in real estate, and she was talking about here in Texas, especially in the metroplexes like Dallas and Houston, there have been a lot of people that came in from out of state that bought like apartment buildings. That was a big hot item that people were buying, who have now are beginning to have issues because the values of those properties, much like what happened in 2008, are starting to drop. The APR is jumping in, and now all of a sudden they're looking at, you know, a big payment and a lot less income coming in. How do you advise people as it relates to the kinds of properties that they might look at?
Okay, so that's a great question. So in 2008 was my first breakdown. It was like the first time, because every year before that, it was a breakthrough after another. And then in 2008, I remember I called a friend of mine, a business advisor, and I told her, you know, this is something I can't believe what's happening. You know, this is the first time it's happening. And she told me, you know, you're going to have so many cycles in your career. And if you and you just need to prepare yourself for the next cycle. So that was one of my biggest aha, and it came in obviously in the big 2008. But if you're looking at today as well, we're constantly going to have cycles. And if you prepare yourself for the cycle, meaning you have enough cash to handle the times that we are handling now, the people that wasn't prepared need to actually will suffer and maybe lose their properties.
Right.
Now, if you prepare for the next cycle, it means you're not going to buy something that it's above your cash on the reserve. You won't be able to take, you know, loan that's above what you can, you know, forget about the property.
What
itself.
You can service. You know, right.
The property.
Right.
And going back and looking in real estate as a 10, 15 years horizon, It's very simple. It's not the only thing is that people want to come in and buying it like it's a stock. It's in the stock market. It's not. The liquidity of a stock market and liquidity of real estate, it's totally different. You cannot jump and cash out immediately. It's take time to move a property. It's take time to market it and sell it. So the people that are will be probably the first time buyers of apartment buildings will be in a very bad situation. The one that's prepared for it maybe take advantage and buy more today.
It's an interesting thing too. Is you remember, you know, they bundled, right? They had the subprime and they were bundling things, and then they were putting a label on them that was overestimating the ability of the individual to pay back that debt. Now, it was assumed that we would never see anything like 2008 again, quote unquote, because supposedly they put in stop safes that were going to stop that from happening again. But it looks to me like they've just kind of repackaged, but it's essentially, I mean, it's the same kind of subprime bundles that people have invested in once again 15 years later. again, I guess the question is, you know, I mean, you mentioned this is a cycle. You've got to be prepared. Sounds like Joseph to me, right? Talking to the Pharaoh, you know, get ready for the famine. But should we be doing something to prevent the dramatic dip? I mean, because there's people that are going to lose their life savings in all this potentially coming up. And I think they are.
Yes, yeah, so hopefully the banks will work with those owners. So some banks, you know, if they can work with the owners to buy some time, that will allow them to maybe refinance in a year or two, and that's what they need. They need a life, you know, the breathing time for like a year or two until, you know, they can refinance. So if the banks will be smart enough, can work with it and not lose money. Because no bank wants the property, but they, you know, back to themselves, and what are they going to do with it? So, if the smartest banks can work with the owners, and some of them are owners with reputation, it would be easier to do it. And I think we will see a lot of it happening. It's happening now for the one that's well known's name, because the banks feel more comfortable, and maybe they take some collaterals on some other property they own. But they should, and we will see more happening with people that just one or two buildings owners, you know, like say the mom and pop shop, you know, like those. I think we will see more of that happening, because there is no reason for the banks to get it and then, you know, find themselves owning a building that they don't know how to maintain.
So, from what I'm hearing, one of the first pieces of advice is to keep yourself flexible, especially if you're younger, if you're in a situation where you're, you know, a growing family, things of that nature. You know that you're potentially going to need a larger place as your family grows, rather than buying, which there, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, I'm going to buy that way, I'm going to get the equity and so on. Your advice is no. Take the money that you would buy with and buy something that you're going to rent out and get income from, and then rent to the space that you need right now. When you're ready, rent to the larger space. And when you finally get yourself situated and settled, that's the point at which to consider buying for yourself.
Right. And in this point, you can see a lot of people will buy the second home, meaning they have some property, but they will buy the second home before they buy the first home.
Right.
The second home will be cheaper and easier to get in. And the one that they're renting right now, it's already with, you know, next to school. And there is a lot of operation around it. And they can be, you know, rent in the neighborhood itself. So it's you will see that trends going on, you know, with the kids are in the 20s, 30s, going into, you know, and building their future and life. I see that's it's growing now, but we will see more of that.
All right. How do people reach you if they would like to get some more information on this and maybe work with you?
We can get us in Instagram. You know, it's Ilan Bracha. This is the name. You know, they can get us over there. They can send us an email in LinkedIn. You know, like find us for sure. It's Ilan at IBG-funds.com. That's another way.
What about the Bracha.com, the website, Bracha.com?
Yeah, IB at Bracha.com, it's another email, and the Bracha.com, it's a website. We have the operation of the brokerage. We're helping a lot of people to find their homes from the luxury market, mainly in the investment side of it.
Okay.
So, yeah, definitely Bracha.com. Yeah, it's a great way of getting us.
Elon, thank you so much for being with me today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I appreciate
great
it.
Break.
Shalom.
It was a beautiful morning. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We're going to take a break, folks. When we come back, Vivian Cottingham, the 60th anniversary of the JFK assassination. We'll be back with that coming up for you right after this brief break.
Hi, I'm Tim Schaff, a certified natural for 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed